T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Boom, 10 seconds on the nose. Nailed that for you, Sacramento. I hope you're enjoying. 888-957-9570 is the number. More of your calls certainly welcome after we say hello to a guy who's just a phenomenal football conversation. Every single time we have Alex Boone on, people ask for more Alex Boone, the former 49er lineman, now 95.7 The Game NFL contributor, appearing on the Dial Pad guest line. Dial Pad helps you make smarter calls. Alex, thank you once again for taking our call. It's good to have you on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. What's shaking, man?
You guys are the best. I'm actually changing a diaper right now, so if it gets crazy, don't get mad, okay?
I did that this morning.
Yeah,
so
I did that this
morning.
I did that this morning, too, and I had to change Ray's diaper as soon as I got to work today. So it's, yeah.
You've been there.
We understand about these things. Hey, guess what? We don't have to change the 49ers diaper after 2 weeks because they didn't you-know-what the bed in either of their first two games.
That's good. Believe me, that's very good. I think that they've been shocking people, and I'm not sure why people are so shocked. I mean, I think you look at this roster, and it's a nice, talented, young roster, but I think you look around and you see a couple veteran players that really make this team, and that's why I'm not so surprised.
Staley out with a broken leg, and this is why we're thrilled to have you on today, Alex, because you understand offensive line play more vividly than all three of us put together. So is it as simple as, well, maybe you move McGlinchey to the left-hand side? Does that make life easier for Justin School to play right tackle as opposed to left tackle? Is there that big of a difference anymore between the two? Because we got edge rushers coming from everywhere in this league now.
No, that's absolutely right. I mean, I think that when you look at these defenses, they're putting five guys out there at a time. I mean, all pass rushers, the best in the league at one time. I mean, it's incredible what they're doing. But I'm not a big fan of moving guys around. Number one, you're in a good place right now with McGlinchey. I think he's a phenomenal player. He's a young player. He's got so much potential. Let him just roll with the way he is. I think when you move him, you kind of mess his mindset up as to what am I doing? I'm on a natural good flow. And then all of a sudden you've just made me a left-handed guy. Like, it's just not a good thing. But more importantly, I think you can hide the fact that Joe's been hurt. You look at these offenses, and everyone's playing with these two tight end sets now. Just start chipping more. Start helping the left tackle more. It's easy to do if you think about it.
So I'm curious, just from a general perspective on offensive line play, because the Niners have been one of, if not the best line in the league through two games. And not everyone on that line is someone who's considered a blue chipper coming in, but it is a group of guys that have been together for a while. So just for your money, would you rather have five guys who are, you know, A-level talents but just jumped together? Or would you rather have a line made up of, you know, a bunch of Bs who've been together for 2 years?
I'd rather have a line that's been together for 2 years. I'd rather have a line that is filled with mismatch and misfits. And when I look back to our San Francisco days, I think of an offensive line that was filled with misfits. And it was just guys that could gel together and at the end of the day had a common core that we didn't want our quarterback to get hurt and that we loved our running back. So I think that when you look at this O-line, you're right. I'm not looking at the Dallas O-line or the Steelers O-line, but what I am looking at is an efficient O-line. And I think they're changing the game a little bit on how you do things, because all these other teams, yeah, they look great. Pittsburgh doesn't look so good. And now the 49ers are starting to look good, and their run game is looking dominant, which is what everybody wants to be able to do.
Let's talk about the run game for a second then. Is this actually going to be a team that can run the ball on, let's say, 75% of the teams in the league? Or was this against a team that didn't tackle very well? Can you make an assessment after 2 weeks? And if you can, what is it?
I think it's hard to make an assessment because you're right. You're looking at these games, and let's take the Bengals, for instance. They go up into Seattle, and they play Seattle super tough. And everyone's kind of like, oh, my God, were we completely wrong about the Bengals? We had them all wrong. They're good. They're better than people think they are. Then they come and get blown out, and everyone's like, nope, they're exactly what they thought they were. I mean, you can't ride the waves in this league. You've got to just travel with the momentum. Right now, this team knows two things. We're running the hell out of the ball, and we need to fix the left tackle spot. So that's all we got to worry about right now.
I thought the reason why they ran the hell out of the ball yesterday, Alex Boone, the perfect guy to ask about this, because nobody spends time talking about what a good game your center had. Weston Richburg might have played his best game with the Niners yesterday.
I'm a huge Weston fan. I've ever been, since he was with the New York Giants, I used to watch him just take guys over the pile, and I used to love it. And I finally got to know him, and I got his phone number, and now I just bugged the hell out of him. But, I mean, you talk about a guy that's in the room right now that just lost a major key role player, and now they're going to ask Weston to step up. Hey, man, listen, now it's your turn to be the leader up front. We need you to be the guy to go forward. We got to continue this run game. This is how we're churning through teams, is this run game. People are so trying to figure out how are we going to stop this run. If they don't figure Jimmy's going to take him up top, too.
The other thing that's been a huge upgrade for this team is obviously the defensive line, and I'm sure you can speak to that as someone who had to block guys like that. They aren't – first week, obviously, few sacks. It's not necessarily about sacks, though, right? Because to me, I've watched guys in Dee Ford and Nick Bosa have an effect on most plays despite not actually recording sacks.
I think that what they're putting out on film right now is scaring enough teams that they're starting to worry about it. And, you know, you look at a team last year that didn't do a lot defensively, and now they've already done more in two games than they did last year. And people are like, wow, how are we going to stop this? And it's a good question. How do you stop that front? Because they're coming from both sides, and not only that, but they're bringing it up the middle, too. Like, it's easy when you say, hey, listen, we're going to chip both ends. That's easy. But when you got to chip both ends and chip both these tackles, that's tough to do.
Alex, they did a nice package during the Niner game on Nick Bosa's hands. They were showing how active he was, good at slapping away, creating space. Who had the best hands you ever played against?
Aaron Donald, hands down, had the best hands and feet you'll ever see. And I think that this last game shows you exactly why this guy is a demon in this league. I mean, you talk about having Andreas Pete flat on his face and you got your quarterback hurt. This guy is incredible. I think I see a lot of Nicky Bosa in him. Because I think you're right, the hands. There's something about a guy that can move his hands and his feet at the same time that make him so effective and so tough to block because you never can really stop him. You're trying to just slow him down. And at the same time, you're trying to stay in front of him. And when they constantly keep moving, they're like, dude, I don't know. It's not a guessing game. I can't guess right. And he goes left because then we got a problem.
Yeah, and he could take out quarterbacks with one.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that the Saints are in a bad position right now, and had they blocked one guy, they wouldn't be so bad.
The Rams in general, though, I mean, people thought their window of opportunity was going to be small because they were going to run into cap problems. But is Aaron Donald an example of how you go after what you can get, pay whatever you need to pay, and then figure out the cap problem later?
Absolutely. I think that when you have one of the best players at their position, you say, what do you want? Okay, you got it. Are you happy? You're happy. Okay, good. We'll figure out the rest later. I think Dallas is kind of going to run into this problem. Eventually, they're going to have to run into this problem, right? They're paying everybody, and all of a sudden, it's like, well, who's going to be the guy they're going to take the money from? And I'm just waiting for them to come out and say some big name, like, oh, so-and-so's taking a huge pay cut. You're like, wow, that sucks. But it's a good problem to have. The cap keeps going up every year, and I don't think people realize this. Every year it's going to jump another $10 million. So they keep gaining money in this cap, so all these contracts keep going up because the cap's going up, and they can allow for this. So while some teams are going to run into problems, yes, the Rams are a good reason. They might run into problems later down the road. It won't be for another 4 or 5 years, though.
I'm just curious, as a guy who played for a number of different teams that ended up in different situations, as you would imagine it, when you're this Niner team where a lot of these guys have struggled through a couple of rough seasons under this head coach, and now you're off to this great start, but also you want to try to temper the enthusiasm because you beat two pretty bad teams, what's practice going to be like tomorrow? Is there a way to sort of crack the whip despite the success?
Absolutely. You come out every day and do the same thing. You work hard. You put your nose to the grindstone, you know, and that's the one thing that I think that Harbaugh, when he was there, did a great job of was, hey, listen, we haven't done anything. You think you went out and beat some great team. Listen, guys, I'm going to tell you the truth. They played terrible against you. Like, he would just say things to cut into you, and you'd be like, you know what? All right, now it's on. And then he'd rile up the defense. And you think you beat that offense? The quarterback told me after the game he was hurt. What are you talking about? You didn't do anything? You know, and then they're riled up, and now we're riled up, and everyone's pissed off. You go out, you have a great practice, you win that week, and he turns around and he tells you, hey, listen, This is how I motivate you. I keep you out of the tabloid. I don't let you read that stupid stuff because it's not true. None of that stuff is true. You got to come out every day and work as hard as you can.
The Rhino. Alex Boone here on 95.7 The Game. How would you describe the diaper change you just executed? Was it more New England Patriots or was it the Miami Dolphins of diaper changes?
Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. That was flawless. You didn't hear that kid cry once.
No, that was well executed all the way around.
You think we don't know about pass fires? Who are you?
Is it right for a Miami Dolphin to ask for a trade just based on I'm trying to protect my own career here?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that when you look at this team, they're doing a fire sale, and they can say no as much as they want. We all see what they're doing, and I feel bad for the guys down there because at the end of the day, you know, I heard this rookie talking about how I'm not going to tank for anybody. They're not going to ask you to tank. They're just going to trade everybody away, and when you don't have any weapons to win with, well, that's how you lose. So I see it from afar, and I think everybody else does too.
Always good to talk to you, Alex. Thank you so much, man. And who is your co-host today? Who is that?
This is Justice, baby Justice. He's about to take a nap.
Well done, Justice. Tremendous job during this segment. Thank you very much, Alex.
Thanks, guys.
Alex Boone here on 95.7 The Game.
See, the stars, they're just like us, changing diapers.
There you go. It's yeah, it's like Us Magazine. Look, they get coffee. They walk in the rain.
Yeah.
They wear boots. Yeah, diaper changes. That was a well-executed diaper change. My kid does not do silent diaper changes. Not yet.
We're not getting a lot of those at the Harmon Kolsky household either.
There you go.
My kids have been quiet about diaper changes for a good long time now.
They are in college, correct?
It's nice of them.
Oh, no, they're way out of college.
Nice of them to come home and do that for you, even though they've grown out and left the house.
Oh, see, that was uncalled for.
You would not believe what the 49ers have a chance to do on Sunday. We will take you to the Wayback Machine to just tell you the last time the 49ers were even playing with a winning record at home. You wouldn't believe when this is. We'll get to it in just a bit. We want you to stick around here. So much more coming up. The playmaker, the Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin, joins us at 4:30. One of the best conversations we have with anyone all week. We are also going to peel away for some opening statements and maybe a question or two at the Kyle Shanahan press conference at 4 o'clock. Kenny Albert joins us at 5:30. It's going to be a really good day here on 95.7 The Game. You got it on Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game.
The corner of Broadway and Battery. Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. Broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Good to have you with us. The 49ers with a loud win. Raiders didn't look so good, but that wasn't the worst loss. It could have been a lot worse. I'll just say that. We got an awful lot for you. We just had Alex Boone on, who is, as always, a phenomenal conversation. People are pointing out how much they enjoyed the baby getting the diaper changed in the background. Someone says, I want to point out, this being a Monster Monday and all, by the way, Monster Monday brought to you by Dolan Lumber, Windows and Doors. Thank you very much for giving me a transition into the sponsor. But we're all talking about how manly football is and offensive line play, and we have time to stop to talk about changing diapers. That's good stuff. I'm glad you enjoy. Again, they're so like us.
I didn't realize that was the standard.
Yeah, diaper change.
Gee, a parent changing diapers? I mean, what, football players are exempt from house duties once they're retired? I mean, that's absurd.
What's up? He's just happy that, he's doing his part as a father.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Boone had to. He was not happy about changing the diaper, by the way. Because nobody ever is.
Yeah.
It's
a duty.
Can you walk the dog in the rain for me because I'm watching TV question?
Yeah.
Nobody does it happily. You do it so that you don't get yelled at later for something more trivial.
Yeah, but Ray, when it's raining, you still got to walk that dog. You know what I mean?
No, you really don't. Let the dog walk itself.
On Sunday, the 49ers are going to play a game at Levi Stadium with a winning record for the first time since they were 7-4 going into their Thanksgiving Day game against the Seahawks back in 2014, which is where Turkey on the 50 was born. Richard Sherman. Dining, turkey leg, Russell Wilson breaking the wishbone. I mean, oh, man, that was still unforgivable. How did they say, yeah, go ahead and beat us and then eat a meal on our 50-yard line? Whatever, I'm over it.
Oh, no, that was a great thing. It's a great thing.
That started.
If you don't want people to have Thanksgiving dinner in your house, either don't invite them in or treat them more shabbily. That's the 49ers' fault for that happening.
That is where the Jed York Twitter shame spiral and the open air fatwa against Jim Harbaugh officially began. It also kicked off a stretch where they would lose 51 of the next 69 games.
Ew. I don't know that I've ever seen that written out before. 18 and 51.
It was a dry 18 and 51.
Oh. I mean, that I knew it was bad, but that actually makes it sound worse than it felt as it went on.
Well, then you weren't feeling correctly.
Well, I'm not a fan of the Niners necessarily, so that helped. But 18 and 51. Oof.
Not good.
That's staggering.
Not good. That's like worst, among the worst in football level of bad. That's a thing. Like, the Niners didn't go from, hey, they were really good, to now they're just average. They bottomed out. They cratered. And we are starting to see the Phoenix rising. The smoking embers have actually turned into a little something here. After 2 weeks, again, I'm not sure what expectations should be right now. I am not so arrogant to think, oh, yeah, I'm looking at a playoff team, because I don't know what to really measure in terms of what the value of these wins were on the road. But they are road wins in the NFL on the Eastern time zone, and that's something that these guys did not do for a really, really, really long time. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to upgrade. I'm going to say they've graduated a little. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Ray, you're the most reluctant to give a compliment guy I've ever met in my life, so let's just see if you agree with the following statement. The 49ers are no longer a bad football team.
Define bad.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to define bad, so let me just ask, would you be comfortable upgrading them from whatever your definition of bad football team is to the level of competent football team? I'm not even going all the way to good. Would you describe the Niners as a competent football team?
I have no evidence that they suggest the opposite right now.
Ooh.
So, no. Well, I mean,
that's no.
Tell me where you can point to the 49ers and say they have failed at this thing. Other than keeping Staley healthy, they really haven't failed at a whole lot. And other than finding a way to make Dante Pettis what they thought he was a year ago, they failed at that, too. Those are two relatively small things.
Have we gone from a team that essentially had zero incisors? Like the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are all gum right now.
Toothless.
Not even gums.
There's only two teams in football that actually have bona fide fangs, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots. Would you say that the 49ers have officially graduated to the dental sliding scale of excellence of teeth? They have some teeth?
I'm not there yet.
They're teething for sure.
They're teething.
They're for sure teething. I don't know if anything's poked through yet.
No, okay. I'll give you that one.
Okay.
They're teething.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
And drooling a lot as a result.
Yes. Yeah. Already getting a little of that at the old home front.
By the way, I never really knew the second part of this song.
A question while we're here. Pump, sure. But circumstance? Why?
I don't get it. Maybe this is the circumstance in which to show a little pomp?
Okay. But
I don't know.
Pomp and circumstance? Never made sense to me.
I don't get it.
Well, we'll change it to Baby Got Back for you.
Thank you. If they played Baby Got Back at every graduation, I think that's a great new American tradition we should try to make happen.
What I really hope, what I think would be an incredible, step forward of the evolution to being a good football team, is at no point in time, even when you see a trip to the loss column, where you say this.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Like, don't take any big steps backwards. Could you do that? Because that, again, that's a sign of competence. look, this is a team full of talented, well-coached players. And you can get beaten on any given Sunday. Good teams can get beaten on any given Sunday. Competent teams certainly are eligible to that. Bad teams are lining up to be beaten on any given Sunday. I think they're going to – how they handle this is going to be interesting because it's been a really long time. They've accepted the challenge that this season started with. Can you open up on the road and not look like fools? Yeah, they can do that. They just did that. I'd even say they look better than not fools. They made the second opponent they played at times look foolish. This is improvement. I don't know what level of improvement it is. I don't know where it goes. Again, can we enjoy the journey, not just the destination?
That's why they have in-game betting. Very simple. And pomp and circumstance is taken from Othello, the phrase.
Oh, interesting.
And the guy who wrote all the pomp and circumstance movements later took his titling of those from that.
There you go. Fun facts with Ray Ratto.
I do like it.
Yeah. Well, it's not fun, but it is a fact.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, you're big on Shakespeare. I know.
I'm big on Shakespeare and classical music. I was a member of the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra, and wow.
Would you play the triangle?
And a Shakespeare actor.
Then you got cut when
I
they
was
found
a percussionist.
A tuba.
I played timpani. I played a really awesome chimes part, which sounds boring, but it's the big ones. You get to hit it with like a mallet.
Oh,
good
like,
times.
Like church chimes.
Exactly.
Like, dong,
got
dong,
to really
dong,
bang those
dong.
In Hector Berlioz's symphony that I quite enjoy.
Look at you. Learn a little something
symphony
new.
Symphony fantastic.
And now you're here.
Every day.
What went wrong?
Lots. Lots went wrong.
Chicago Youth Symphony to this.
Toured Europe as a young musician. Now.
Oh, my God.
Did
oh,
they,
well.
Did you age out or did they get somebody who was better at chimes?
I aged out. And I did not practice enough to age up in the symphony system.
Jaguars.
You got to want it.
You do. I don't know. We don't have breaking news. We got breaking rumors. We got breaking trade requests. The Jaguars are going to be asking teams for at least one first round pick in return for Pro Bowl corner Jalen Ramsey, who apparently officially wants out of town. His back and forth with Doug Marrone has gone to the point of no return. And Jalen Ramsey wants out. I don't think the 49ers are going to be in the Jalen Ramsey business.
Would you want to give up a first rounder for a cornerback? I mean, forget, he's great. He's probably better than Akello Witherspoon in the long term, but how much better? Because I feel like you got pretty good solutions at corner right now to where if I'm thinking about what do I want to spend my first round pick on next year, it's for sure not corner. Now, if I thought corner was a position I might invest that first round pick in, then I'm thinking, well, Jalen Ramsey's probably as good as any corner I'm getting with that first-round pick, so by all means, I make that trade. But I just don't think that's a place the Niners need to invest right now.
Well, also, you have to prioritize. Their secondary's not fixed yet. We've seen two good games against two teams that...
I'm not saying it's fixed.
Okay, and I know you're not saying it's fixed. What I'm saying is, when you look at that and you prioritize the things you need, all right? If you said you have to trade the first-round pick for somebody, I'm trading it for Trent Williams before I'm trading it for Jalen Ramsey because Trent Williams is more important.
Agreed.
And then you can, if need be, turn around and flip Trent Williams later if you want. Or if you think Joe Staley's not coming back from the injury, maybe you ease him into retirement. But you don't do that for a cornerback because cornerbacks are not impossible to find. Really good left tackles are.
The price for left tackles certainly went up when the Miami Dolphins traded Laremy Tunstall along with another receiver in Kenny Stills to the Houston Texans. Two first rounders, though. I mean, there's no way that... All right, let me figure out how to say this the right way. There is no way that Daniel Snyder, who might be the cut his nose off to spite his own face owner du jour in the NFL, there's no way he would ever want to do business with Kyle Shanahan, right? Not happy that he left. Not happy. That wasn't a harmonious.
Not doesn't love the family. Let's say.
Yeah, yeah. No, there'd be a lot of places he'd rather flip a player he doesn't want to trade than to a place where he might go then have success. And, I don't know. So it's got so let's just say there's no doubt that the Niners price for Trent Williams would be a first round pick.
I think it's more than that, because if you look at that, if you count the Miami to Houston trade as setting the market, it was two firsts and a second. And I think if we're honest, Kenny Stills isn't worth more than the second. So that's two firsts for Laremy Tunsil, more or less, because Kenny Stills is a 27-year-old wide receiver whose best season was 2014. This is...
Can I offer you the player who was picked second overall just two drafts ago?
Is it Larry? Yeah, and like, that's the other thing.
Can I throw in Solomon Thomas as a sweetener, a guy who's got a whole bunch of, you know, draft capital potential?
You just got hung up on.
Yeah, I think that's a tough one.
Maybe.
No, it's not a tough one. He got hung up on.
Yeah.
And he will not get his future calls returned. You don't even start with that. But I think before you start saying that Laremy Tunsil set the price, there is no, quote, set price, because every trade is different.
And Tunsil's and 6 years younger.
And Bill O'Brien, being the general manager and coach, is a little bit of the same thing that John Gruden is one job over the line. That was too much to give up for Tunsil and Still. I mean, even if you don't, you know, take Stills, don't take Stills, it doesn't matter. That's too much to pay for Laremy Tunsil, because when you're making deals in hopes of saving your job, which is really what he's doing, you're going to fail at that far more often than not. So the fact, well, you take that fact, then you add it to the fact that the Redskins, again, I use the wrong word, I apologize, when Washington has had Trent Williams on the market for as long as they have without a taker, his price has gone down dramatically.
Yeah, that's probably true. It's just a question of whether Daniel Snyder is more interested in taking the hit on this than in trading him for what he thinks is below price. The question is not what Trent Williams is actually worth. The question is, what idiotic stand is Snyder going to take on this?
Well, it's the stand more than Snyder's valuation of what Trent Williams is worth.
Right.
Because I guarantee you, he would trade him to the 49ers way before he traded with the Giants or Eagles or Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are gradations of things that Daniel Snyder won't do. And the Shanahan family, while they're in the neighborhood,
they're not Jerry Jones.
Yeah. He doesn't have to look at that twice a year.
Do you think they're sold that Case Keenum dropping back 40 times a game is the right thing for the team's future? I mean, maybe a backup quarterback.
They don't.
I mean, come on. I'm just looking. Tunsil, by the way, you know, this guy was not exactly holding out. It's ideally, like, if we can jump into the Niners prayer circle this week, what they're praying for is that Justin School is ready to accept the challenge and answer the bell, because that would make everything so much. There'd be no mortgaging the future. You'd also have to kind of hold your breath a little bit, because there is no backup tackle. He is the backup tackle. You're one more injury away from going, oh boy, on that offensive line. So how they handle this will be very interesting. Patrick Stockton, you're on 95.7 The Game. Patrick, what do you got?
Absolute pleasure to talk to you guys again. Listen, Ray, I understand how you feel about the cornerback position. Jalen Ramsey is 24 years old. Jalen Ramsey is the best of the young corners in the league right now. There's nobody his age or younger better than he is. We would be foolish to blow an opportunity to get a corner of that caliber. The defense is outstanding, but we could use some help in the secondary. We would just be better. Because the guys, we've been getting away right now with our corners. We don't have any real elite corners, nothing even close to a shutdown corner. Ramsey would change the game defensively. He'd be very dynamic, and you could do a lot of things when you got one guy that you could take away. You could put Ramsey on the best receiver, and then with the defense the way they're playing now, it would be incredible. We would be foolish not to make that move. If we can get Ramsey for draft picks of a first round and maybe a third, a first and a fourth, without giving away any players, it'd be outstanding.
Well,
you'd rather give up players than draft choices, in the modern NFL.
Yes.
I know that Patrick called to address what you said, and I don't want to speak for you or defend you in any way, shape, or form, Ray. But
I don't want to defend me either, but let's play our game.
The point that you were trying to make was you got to address the need that you have, not the desire and the wish list you'd want. I think Ramsey, clearly,
He'd be the best corner on the Niners. Yeah, no one's debating that.
If the choice to add him or not was just easy, that's an easy choice. Of course you would want a player who is under contract through 2020, who's got a really reasonable base salary, and when you look ahead to 2020, $13 million for a corner is pretty reasonable if we all agree he'd be 25 years old and the best in the league at it. He's played and started 50 out of 50 career games, two-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro all the way around. I mean, the guy is bona fide. He's better than that GQ article suggested.
Nobody is. This has nothing to do with Ramsey's ability.
It's needs, and it's what would you be willing to mortgage future on needs to be addressing?
Needs and cost, right?
It's needs and supply, because the 49ers don't have a first, correct?
They don't have a second.
They don't have a second. Now, you trade your first away, and I don't believe they have multiple firsts.
Nope.
I can't find it now because the internet is down.
No, but if they trade next year's first rounder, they will not pick till round three.
Okay, then unless they've got a bunch of other ways to get back into the top end of the draft, you basically have said, we're not really going to grow much next year. And I don't know that that's clever.
No.
I mean, I'm not saying they should trade for either of those guys, but if you have to make a trade today, their most burning need is a tackle.
And I guess I would just say during week one and most of yesterday up until the end when they loosened up a little bit, the corners they have did a heck of a job with some pretty decent wide receivers. So I just don't think the upgrade from Witherspoon and Sherman to Ramsey is big enough to justify the cost. In the Williams situation, the upgrade from Justin School to Trent Williams may very well be big enough to be worth that cost. And that, to me, is the difference between the two ideas.
We asked Alex Boone, would it be just a good idea to take Mike McGlinchey, who seems to be one hell of a right tackle, and just move him to the left side? Wouldn't you be creating a problem? Look at it this way. You have a problem at left tackle. You don't have a problem at right tackle. I don't know if you solve your problem all the way by moving him to left tackle, and you kind of create a problem at right tackle just by moving him.
I'm not a big fan of moving guys around. Number one, you're in a good place right now with McGlinchey. I think he's a phenomenal player. He's a young player. He's got so much potential. Let him just roll with the way he is. I think when you move him, you kind of mess his mindset up as to what am I doing? I'm on a natural good flow, and then all of a sudden you've just made me a left-handed guy. Like, it's just not a good thing.
There you go. He knows a little bit more about it than we do, that's for sure. So what the Niners do to address the Joe Staley injury, how they play it, it's going to be a fascinating experiment to watch play out, because it's not only a referendum on how much they think they have Joe Staley left of, what they think of their own season. It's how urgent are they to protect Jimmy Garoppolo? How urgent are they to make this season, year three of their experiment, the year that is definitely the fork in the road where they've turned the corner? Would they be afraid that they can't continue to turn that corner if they gave away too much of their future to solve a problem that might take care of itself in 8 weeks? What do you really expect? What do you believe? By the way, week two's butcher bill in the NFL could be where so much of this season has turned. I mean, I remember a couple weeks ago, not just that we were looking to do a segment to talk about something, but we kind of were. And I went on about how Sean Coleman, who was supposed to be the swing tackle, broke his leg like the first couple plays of the exhibition year. And, you know, I could come back to haunt you deep into the year. Well, here we are, 2-0 start, and it might be haunting you already here going into week three.
I don't think we'd be talking about Trent Williams if Sean Coleman was healthy.
Correct. And we still don't even know who Sean Coleman necessarily is.
We don't even know that he's much better than Justin School. I'm just saying it wouldn't feel as dire if you weren't jumping from Joe Staley to your third stringer.
We are going to talk about the butcher's bill that week two did hand us in the NFL. We got some big injuries, and if there is a benching in New York, we could have an NFL that we have not seen since 2004. That is coming up next here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Don't you move. We've also got Michael Irvin at 4:30, Kenny Albert at 5:30, coming up courtesy of Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
First and goal. And it is a touchdown for Wilson. And for Wilson, his first career touchdown.
Wouldn't take him very long to score his second either. I mean, what a day for the 49ers. Just in their backfield, what they did was really, really impressive. Yesterday, they averaged 6.2 yards per rush on the afternoon. Significant contributions. Breida, Mostert, Wilson all looked very, very good. I mean, Matt Breida, this guy, he's got the wiggle in his waggle. He can put the boogie on you, man. He was making dudes miss one-on-one over and over again. It was his best afternoon in the NFL, without a doubt.
I was thinking about watching Matt Breida run. He does something that the best way I could come up to to explain it was people talk all the time about quarterbacks of the Tom Brady variety being clever within the pocket in ways to extend a play, to give himself a little extra space here and there. Breida, when he gets just a little bit of room out of the backfield, he almost seems to run in a pocket down the field, and he's incredibly good at creating space in small areas for himself to where he seems to get three or four extra yards out of a lot of runs because guys just can't quite grab him. And it's a really interesting thing. He's a pretty unique runner.
But to really, really simplify it, it's called running to daylight.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy runs today. He is in the open spot. He's not looking to ever initiate, drop the hammer, drop the, you know, he's looking for an inch of daylight anywhere. And he takes it and he finds it. Raheem Mostert, like, you're telling me that that's not one of the most athletic third, I mean, that's where he's the third string back. Jeff Wilson was the practice squad guy until Jarrett McKinnon gets hurt and everybody moves up one spot.
Mostert was supposed to be fourth string. I mean, he's a guy who you came in from the offseason
thinking, I forgot about Tevin Coleman.
Yes, here's our fourth stringer / special teams ace, and you're happy about that. And as it turns out, he's a perfectly good number two option. The backfield talent, or else whatever Kyle Shanahan does to create run space, is really operating at another level here.
Should name this running back room the undrafteds. I mean, none of them were drafted. And if that doesn't quiet any should they trade for Melvin Gordon conversation, I don't know what more you'd want.
I'm not sold on the running backs yet, because when you pile up that many yards for a group that probably isn't that imposing, you have to wonder how much of that was Cincinnati.
Sure.
So I'm going to want to see that again. And then I'm going to want to see it again after that. Because I think ultimately...
That wasn't me.
I don't know what that was.
Hello. That was the end of Tribe Called Quest song is what that was. I know exactly what that is.
We're on a ward tour.
Yeah, I think I lost my train of thought. Let's just end with that. That's a better ending than any point I was going to make.
Matt Breida on this running back room.
It's going great. That's how his plan was going to be the whole year. You know, try and get as many guys in there, rotate of us. All of us are great running backs. I feel like all of us are starters, and we just have a great running back room. No one's selfish. As long as we're winning, we don't care who's in the game.
And look, as long as you got play calling like that, it might not matter very much. It really was an outstanding day for Kyle Shanahan, who mixed up pass attack, screen game, running back, wide receiver screen game, downfield attacking, clever play calling, knowing when to be even a little bit more conservative. I thought there was a, you know, you got a day where you're moving the ball really, really well. Why would you punt here? Well, your fourth round punter was coffin cornering guys inside the five. He was pinning them, and all of a sudden that, go for it, turned into, hey, great punt, great decision.
When's the last time you saw a gunner catch a punt on a fly?
I mean, did that happen?
Yeah,
I missed that.
DJ Reed caught the ball at like the 2 yard line, and it happens very, very occasionally. And I always think to myself, why doesn't that happen more? These punters are damn good. They know basically where they're kicking the ball. They very frequently, on a slightly shorter field, can put it inside the 5 yard line on whichever side they choose. Give me some airtime and let me catch that thing. That was an awesome play.
I think you're overestimating most punters.
Maybe.
I mean, there are a few who can do that, but for the most part, there's a reason why teams have different punters every year. I mean, yeah. You got used to Andy Lee being here
for
a decade. Fair
enough, that's true. Yeah.
I think for the most part, punters can't do that,
okay.
Which is why they play for 18.
Hopefully Mitch Wishnowsky can, because that was an awesome special teams play. And
I'm not saying he can't be that guy,
right,
but
sure.
Most punters blow.
Look, between Andy Reid and what Shane Leckler's run, we were Puntville USA for a while here in the Bay Area.
I mean, Ray Guy. I mean,
yeah, a lot of good Bay Area punting.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers haven't had like really awful kicking in a good long time, and the Raiders, I don't know if they've ever had it. I mean, maybe when they had Errol Mann, and that was in the 70s, but for the most part, they got kickers and they kicked.
Hell of a day for the 49ers offense, Kyle Shanahan.
I mean, the same things we did the week before. You know, I mean, just I don't think you want to overrate. Just when you do good, it has all to do with what you do in the week. When you do bad, you obviously messed up in the week. You know, football's a tough game. I thought we competed our tails off versus Tampa and did a lot of good things, just didn't quite play as well. Today I thought was similar. You know, just to be on the road for 10 days, that adds up. But I thought our guys were juiced today. They came out with a lot of energy. It didn't take us time to wake up. And when we did face some adversity like the turnover, we got it right back, and guys never blinked.
I like the fact that this guy never changes the tone in his voice at a press conference. I really do. I know that doesn't sound like a big deal, and it probably isn't, but here is a young guy who's just waiting, I think, for a moment to turn around and say, like, I told you I'm good at this. He finally gets one, and it's just calm, composed, no chest thumping, across the board, pro. I really do. There's something about the way Kyle Shanahan talks that to me is reassuring when the win isn't there. And there's something that's reassuring that he doesn't talk differently when the win finally is there.
He's a
and
guy,
that's consistency.
I don't know if it's consistency yet, though, because mostly he's known failure. And I think I give him credit for knowing it's not time to get smug yet, but I'm not willing to give him credit for not being ever for never being smug, because I think he could be smug.
He has not had great opportunities to be smug yet, that is true. I'll say, though, he sounds, whether last year when they stunk or this year when they've been good to this point, he sounds like a guy who expects to win, and when he wins, expects to do it again, and when he loses, expects to fix it. And look, your coach is going to have to be a good coach, but putting aside whether he's a good coach or not, that's the attitude you want your coach to have. And, you know, again, like so many things with this Niners team, we can only judge what we've seen. And I really feel like what we've seen is very good on Kyle Shanahan on almost every front.
By the way, not that it has really anything to do with what we're talking about other than the kicking game a little bit. Have you, either of you, seen anything on Adam Vinatieri yet? Adam Vinatieri
Is not retiring.
Oh, right. You know, good. It should take more than two weeks to end a career.
Among other things, Frank Reich came out and said he's not retiring.
I mean, should it take more than two really bad weeks for a 46-year-old to end a career? Because I hear you. He's arguably the greatest kicker ever.
They've been terrible.
But he has looked like a guy who can't do it anymore, and he is the age of a guy who can't do it anymore.
And yesterday after the game, he sounded like he didn't want to anymore.
He sounded crushed. He sounded like today was the retirement coming.
Yeah. He flat out told a guy who covers the Colts every day, he said, you'll see me tomorrow. He said, no, you guys aren't in tomorrow. He says, you'll see me.
Yeah.
It almost sounded like he was saying, I'm going to have an announcement, and I think Frank Reich talked him out of it.
Could be. And look, they may not have a better option right now. So for Frank Reich, you probably just cross your fingers and hope he works his way out of this. But
hey, look, when it comes to talking right. Guys out of retirement in Indianapolis Colts uniforms, the Indianapolis Colts are 1-1 this year, right?
That's a good point.
1-1. Congratulations. That's 500. It's pretty good after 2 weeks, all things considered.
Well, in fairness, though, one guy was harder to convince than the other.
Clearly.
Because one guy was going out on his own. The other guy was being dragged there by his recalcitrant right foot.
Look, it's really easy to see how good the 49ers were this past week. It is a lot more beauty is in the eye of the beholder. When you turn your attention to what the Raiders did yesterday against Kansas City, they were up 10-0 in that game, which I thought was a stunner, right? And then they have that collapse. Or I don't even know if it's a collapse in the second quarter as much as it just was Kansas City jumping on the accelerator and not letting off for a full 15 minutes of football. Patrick Mahomes, the entire offense, everything you could want to see click in a quarter clicked for Kansas City in that quarter. As bad as it looked, I think the Raiders scream improvement at so many different levels. And what you were hoping to see from John Gruden and didn't even get an inkling of in year one, you're starting to see in year two. I thought that yesterday provided at least 30 different times to quit on a game if you were the Raiders' defense or the Raiders' dobber down guys, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Last year's Raider team gets a 50-burger hung on them the way that the Chiefs were playing yesterday, and that didn't happen. They were still swarming to the ball. The only time they weren't swarming to the ball is because it was thrown completely over them and into the end zone.
Oakland Raiders defense deserves a commendation for that football game because there's literally nothing harder to do in the NFL than slow down the Chiefs. And that becomes even harder when your offense isn't helping out. Let me read to you, after the Raiders took a 10-point lead, here are their possessions. 3 plays, 2 yards, punt. 4 plays, 21 yards, punt. 4 plays, 21 yards, punt. 3 plays, -12 yards, punt. 6 plays, 43 yards, end of half. 6 plays, 77 yards, the terrible interception. 6 plays, 26 yards, another interception. 3 plays, 3 yards, and then a 10-play drive where they did not score that basically ended the game. This offense did zero after taking a 10-0 lead. Absolute zero. And frankly, to shut out the Chiefs for a half while your offense does zero is a wild accomplishment.
Yeah, it really is.
Although the Chiefs got a bunch of big gains taken back by penalties too. So it's not like the Raiders defended them well. But I don't know that they were capable of doing that because it's the Chiefs.
I think they did what they could.
They did what they could, but what they could do looks better given the penalties than it would have under normal circumstances.
Sure.
As for the offense, they faced a bad Kansas City defense and couldn't do anything with it.
It's time to move on into our 4 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.